Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life by Life West. Of course, I host this show. I'm a co-host, actually. The anchor of the show is Dr. Mary Oberstein, my partner in everything. Hey, Mary, good to see you.
Hi, you too.
And we've got a very special guest bringing back for the second time to get fresh perspectives on really, really cool stuff. We've got Dr. Jamie Motley from Life Chiropractic College West. Welcome, Dr. Jamie.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And it's a pleasure to have you. I'm going to tell the audience a little bit about you, just give a real brief bio, and then we're going to jump in. Well, Jamie graduated, a LifeWest graduate in 2009. Is that correct, right?
That's correct.
8 to 9 kind of deal.
Yeah.
So she's been a chiropractor for 16 years, and then she left the Bay Area. She had a concierge practice and went to, at that point, it was New York Chiropractic College, now Northeast, right? College of Health Sciences, but she went to New York Chiropractic College at that time to participate in their MSDI program. It's a master's program in science and diagnostic imaging, where along that same way, she got her DAP bar and worked there for a year teaching. And then for those of you who have been around Life West, you know, for graduated maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago or more, you remember Dr. Carter. And when Dr. Carter retired, Dr. Motley jumped in, Dr. Jamie jumped in and took his position with us ever since. And, teaching radiology, doing stuff. And now, for the last 6 years, she's been the director of our MSDI program, our first master's program. And she's been running that. It's an internship program, residency, I should say, program. We have three people. It's a three-year program. We have three residents at any time, a first year, second year, third year. So we're constantly refilling every year. So if you're interested in getting a master's in science and diagnostic imaging, you can always, reach out to us and we can get you, tell you how you can apply. But she's been doing that and been doing amazing things in this program. Just amazing. So, that's pretty much all. But I think your biggest accomplishment to date was the birth of your daughter.
Yes.
Right. 7 years ago. And of course, you're a partner of 20 years. And you got just a well-rounded, keep going. I graduated from Temple University in Pennsylvania, right? Yeah. The Temple Owls, right?
The Temple
Owls.
That's right.
Owls. Over in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly and sisterly love. And so you've been back and forth across the country, coming back to Life West, back out to New York, back to San Francisco. So, you're a traveler and you are a scholar and a wonderful woman. And we're glad to have you. So that's my introduction. I'm sticking to it. And it was not a eulogy. So that's pretty good too, right? Because I've been introduced to places where it's like, my gosh, am I dead or something? Like, but anyways, that's kind of what's up.
Thank you. That was great. And yes, you're right on all those things.
All right.
Well, I'm going to jump in before we get into all things diagnostic and CBCT and imaging. I just want you to tell your story about not how you found chiropractic, but how chiropractic found you. I know there's a journey there.
Yes, chiropractic definitely found me. That's for sure. We were talking off camera a little bit about my father, who's just been a huge influence in my life and biggest supporter of all time. And since I was a child, I wanted to be a doctor. So that was always like in my mind. I went through several iterations of what type of doctor I wanted to be. Pretty much landed on pediatrics when I was young. And when I was in high school, interestingly enough, my dad had a car accident. And he was seeing a chiropractor in San Francisco named Dr. Stackhouse, who we've actually had some of our interns. I saw interns with this doc at street fairs and so forth, just screenings. But Dr. Stackhouse was his chiropractor, and I went with him to a few appointments, and he was talking to me about chiropractic, talking to us about chiropractic, as my dad has never seen a chiropractor prior to that point. And I was fascinated, you know, in terms of just like the holistic approach around, you know, care for the body, also just, you know, caring for the body without drugs, basically, is what I was most interested in. I had several family members up until that point who were on really heavy medications around common, you know, age-related conditions for the most part. And I was just very attracted to chiropractic from my first encounter. And through several encounters with Dr. Stackhouse, kind of decided that I wanted to be a chiropractor. I kind of investigated the career a bit. I decided what major I needed to get to in college to meet all the prerequisites for chiropractic college. And my dad was like, you can stay in California or go to Pennsylvania for college. So those were my options, to stay home or to go to Philadelphia, you know, some college. And they have a lot of colleges in Philadelphia, most of which have really good kinesiology programs. So that was the earliest kind of encounter I had with chiropractic, and very quickly aligned my future with becoming a chiropractor. So yeah, in my teenage years, I decided somewhere around 15 years old that I was going to be a chiropractor. And so here I am.
So when you went to Temple, when you left, did you grow up in the city in San Francisco?
I grew up in San Francisco in the Western Addition neighborhood, which now has a new name, but the area just above downtown, really beautiful area in San Francisco, born and raised. My father is originally from Philadelphia and moved here when he was a high schooler. And so he and my mother met when they were very young and had me. And so I still have family in Philadelphia.
So now why would he say you can stay here or go to Philadelphia?
My grandmother's sisters, who were still living at the time, a couple of my dad's siblings were still out there. So I was able to live with family and have close family while I was in Temple.
And going off your Temple, you knew you wanted to go to chiropractic.
I wanted to be a chiropractor. So I was looking at the admissions criteria, and I was looking at my major, and I was just situating all the classes that I needed. And at that time, the criteria was a little bit different, but kinesiology most heavily aligned with the admission criteria for chiropractic. And so I obtained a degree in kinesiology from Temple with the fact that I knew I was going into chiropractic college. And what was interesting at that time is my college counselor was like, I never heard of anybody going to chiropractic school. I'm like, yes, this is what chiropractic is. I'm really excited about it. And let's make sure all of my classes align with what I'm going to be doing next, because not many people were going to graduate school after undergraduate education. So it was a really good alignment for me, and it all worked out. I entered chiropractic college very soon after graduating undergrad.
All right. And then you got to LifeWest, came back to the Bay Area, went to LifeWest, graduated, did the concierge practice, and then decided to go apply to New York to do the MSDI program.
Yes.
What was that? Well, just real quickly before we...
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
What was that?
When I was a student in chiropractic college, I was fascinated by pathology. Hooray for Sue Ray had a great class called General Diagnosis. I was fascinated by the pathologic appearances of viscera and bone. And then when I got to radiology courses, was just fascinated with the appearance. And I also discovered that I had some natural talent and observation skills in visual acuity, identified by Dr. Carter himself, who became my mentor. And so really, like, through the rad education, became extremely interested in imaging. He kind of called me out. We would spend time looking at stuff, and he really encouraged me to pursue this, as these types of talents don't come along very often.
Yeah.
Based on my interest and based on his recommendation, decided that this would be a great addition to my career.
Right. I mean, and thank God you had an interest in it, because sometimes people are good at it.
Oh, you have to be interested. I mean, the amount of content that you need to review, the amount of information you need to acquire and obtain and retain is astronomical. And so lacking interest in something beyond like post-doctorate education, not recommended if you don't have interest. I mean, it'll be the quickest way to quit.
Absolutely. If we have time at the end, I'll tell you my Dr. Brian Gatterman story, because he was an instructor of mine in 1978. I have a great that. First quarter of chiropractic school, right? I've got a cute story if we have time.
Sure.
But let's talk about our NSDI program, because, you know, you basically, you know, along with your 7-year-old, you know, you basically kind of birthed this program. I mean, you worked on this program with Dr. Donaldson and brought this program to life through your knowledge of New York, you know, when you were at New York, Northeastern, yeah. You know, and then, you know, you helped shape this whole program. We had to take this program to WASC, you know, our accreditors, and get a pass through WASC, which we did, you know, and,
yes.
And, I mean, just amazing. And I want to tell you this. One of our radiologists, I love her, Dr. Savannah, she's just awesome, came up to me in the hallway and said, I hear we're doing this. Are we really going to do it? And I like looked at her and go, girl, what do you think? You think we're putting all this work in it? Like, we're not going to do it? But I just want to make sure, because I, you know, I'm like, because yeah, she's a DAT bar, right? And has a master's, right?
That's right.
So, and now it's up and running, right?
Now it's up and running. Yeah, it was a huge feat, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, talk about what that means for, you know, for the profession and for what we're doing, you know, at Life Was with it.
Yeah. I mean, the DAT bar in chiropractic is essential. I mean, we all know that chiropractors are trained in imaging interpretation. That is a large component of their curriculum, but it's by no means the focus of the curriculum. Just around, you know, we're trying to graduate competent chiropractors, and imaging interpretation is a component of competency in chiropractic. And as you mentioned prior, you know, the number of radiographic units in chiropractic offices is shifting quite a bit. And so there is this kind of stepchildhood that radiology can kind of have in chiropractic, or at least it can feel that way, given practitioners' ability to kind of decide how involved they want to be. But realistically, the DAT bar was birthed out of the need of like interpretation in a chiropractic lens. You know, although chiropractic's earliest encounter with radiography was really about the vertebral subluxation complex and identifying findings to support those things, the pathologic evaluation of tissue on X-ray became really important, particularly in the mid-1900s when, you know, the medical field and chiropractic fields kind of, you know, had some of their stuff going on. Chiropractic had to decide how they wanted to integrate radiology in beyond the subluxation. And so the birth of the DAT bar really started there in terms of having chiropractors who had additional training in pathologic, you know, identification of findings of pathology on imaging to support their chiropractors, because a lot of findings that we see are not that important to other practitioners. Mm-hmm. You think about something like atlas being fused to the skull, like your average medical professional is not engaging with a patient manually on top of concerned about the negative effects or the consequences of that fusion in the spine. And so we often have to identify things that are chiropractically important that may not be that pathologically severe, if you will. And so the DAT bar plays a huge role, you know, in chiropractic practice, not only to educate our students, but also to support our practicing chiropractors in areas they may be deficient in interpretation. It's a huge thing.
Gee, that's what I love, because I think what people don't understand is that, especially when you get into the med legal and also any, if it's or any kind of, it doesn't not that be med legal, you know, or that, you know, anything that could happen, you know, because that when we have DAT bars or we have MSDI grads who can actually show the vertebral subluxation complex, show that, no, there is a problem here at the occiput atlas or atlas axis that is compromising the the neurological integrity or whatever might be here. It's huge. I mean, you know,
huge.
And we need that kind of stuff. But I just want to share something with both of you. You know, I just saw, we just had our Nexus program in Nebraska. And Scott Rosa spoke, and Scott is doing, he's going beyond. I mean, he's doing the MRIs showing cerebral spinal fluid flowing. And, you know, Mira, you've seen these before, you know, from Scott. And he did this incredible work, and they could actually see what's going on with the vertebral artery and, you know, the basilar artery. It's just incredible to see that what could happen from a subluxated vertebra, you know, especially in the atlas axis occiput area, right? It's like nuts, you know, and people think, oh, wow, you know, God, it's just another joint in the body. It It's a lot more than just that.
It's a lot more than just a joint. And MRI shows us so much. And if you think about technology, I mean, MRI was only heavily introduced to the main population in like the 1980s. It's a fairly new modality. So, you know, chiropractic has existed a lot longer. It's actually, you know, was founded in the same year that X-ray was discovered. So basically, since the inception of chiropractic as a profession, radiology has been dominant, radiography, but then now we're entering into these new imaging modalities like MRI that can be really useful for identifying structural anatomy like ligaments and vessels and so forth. But also physiologic effects of chiropractic can be demonstrated in some of these studies too. So it's really exciting time for chiropractic and imaging.
And as we know, and Amir, we've talked about this many times, right? With the way our kids educate, you know, our three daughters are all chiropractors. And, you know, I hate to say this, but from the times that Dr. Mary and I, you know, started practicing, it was like hard bone on soft nerve, you know, that kind of thing with the verb, you know, the red nerve coming out. No, I'm sure on our age, but, you know, and they come out, they start talking about brain health, and they start talking about, and really, you know, that's really, I truly believe that BJ Palmer was alive today. And by the way, I think we all know who was the first person to take an X-ray west of the Mississippi to use radiographic, you know, analysis west of the Mississippi was BJ Palmer. He was the very first person, right? And his technology and what he was doing then, he'd be all about brain health right now.
Oh, all I agree with you 100%. All the developments that we've had and just what we know about the body, how it works and imaging depiction of these things, I think he would have been deeper into the work than he was even then.
I agree. So can we talk about CBCT?
Yes, let's talk about CBCT. Okay. In the same breath of advancements in imaging technology, you know, this is a great transition for sure.
How do you compare it? Like when MRI, like you just said, when we talked about MRI came about, then, you know, chiropractors started using MRI. How do you see CBCT? Do you see it as like, oh my gosh, like so much greater than MRI? Or do you feel like, no, it's just another tool?
I'm hesitant to say it's just another tool because when we associate it with chiropractic, it's a new and exciting tool. But remember, computed tomography was also developed in the 1970s, became popular in the 80s. Initially, only brain imaging was done. And CBCT is a variation of our traditional multi-detector CT. So this is technology that's kind of been honed in and honed down to image smaller areas of the body. And CBCT is fairly new to chiropractic, but it is a technology that's been heavily used in the dental world. Maxillofacial dentistry, orthodontistry, et cetera, have been using this technology for quite a while, establishing like tooth health, tooth-jaw connections and so forth. And also to image sino-nasal regions, skull base regions. So although the technology has been around for a while, the application in areas outside of dentistry are fairly new. Mm-hmm. So this is a modality that's been around, but, you know, the application in chiropractic has been really profound, particularly in that upper cervical complex region, because this is anatomy that was naturally being imaged in these dental applications anyway. And there are several papers that were published talking about the rate of incidental findings, the variable severity on CBCT obtained for dental reasons. So they were finding things like a fused atlas or a dens that wasn't attached to the body of C2, we know as an os auditorium, which are really important chiropractic diagnoses to make. And so I think through some of that, it started to kind of reveal itself as a technology that could be applied to other areas of the body. There are some early musculoskeletal applications in the extremities. There's some early applications around bone density testing and et cetera. So it's not just chiropractic that is becoming interested in this technology and how it could support the profession of interest. But in terms of chiropractic, this upper cervical region is very complex in terms of its atypical vertebrae and some of the articulations that are exclusive to this region. And CBCT shows this anatomy exceptionally well. We know radiography being two-dimensional has its limitations, and we do cervical imaging in general. You know, we're really only getting frontal and lateral perspectives. There's obviously several upper cervical specific radiographs that can be taken to aid in the chiropractic practice around those areas. But CBCT can really kind of, I don't want to say replace, but it can exhibit the anatomy superior to radiography for a pretty similar, if not lesser, radiation dosage, depending on how many views radiographically would have been taken. So we're really excited about this technology, particularly to advance the technology's presence in chiropractic, and then also to just educate our students on, you know, this technology, which you can expect to see, normal anatomy that we would generally go through, and then demonstrating pathologies that come across. And there's several DACBARs and MSDI folks who read CBCT. So this is already happening. And so we're just really excited to be a part of it.
And I believe we're the first school west of the Mississippi to have a CBCT. And
which is really exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. You know, and I kind of say, just for our viewers, you know, when people go to dentists and get the panoramic x-rays, right, that's CBCT, right? And what it shows, it's so incredible. It's like a video beam, isn't it? It's like you could see the spine, you could see the atlas axis and the occiput, and you could take away the dens if you want to, put it back, it's just like, it's so crazy. And yet it's so important because you could turn it any which way. And I want to give a shout out. Two people I want to especially give a shout out. That's actually three to give a shout out to. One is Tyler Evans. He's a Life Whisperer and his wife, Michael Beebe. They're in New Hampshire. And Tyler is an exceptionally, he's the man right now as far as, you know, knowing the ins and outs and everything you want, the nooks and crannies, you know, that people just, you know, you could just, that he can spout him out. He just really knows so much about CBCT and for the work he's doing with it, along with Jeff Shulton over in Calvary, who's doing phenomenal stuff, trying to move this forward and using it in upper cervical techniques and to bring it forward. Like, you know, he's the one that's kind of was pushing me, right? You know, I was getting emails from him all the time. And then also, you know, one of our graduates, Rashay Bell, over in Spokane, Washington, she actually has a CBCT center. Yes, you've got like, I don't know how many clinics she had, but then other docs can send, and any practitioner can send their people. I believe this is correct. And if I'm wrong, Rashay, I'm giving you a shout out anyways. They can send their patients there to get it. Maybe dentists use it. I don't know. But, you know, it's just incredible. And we're going to see more and more of this. They're sent of units. So we're going to see more and more where they become a hub, you know, to be able to have this great imaging done, to be able to use. And I just heard this, Jamie, that they're now developing a full spine CBCT.
I'm not surprised. Surprised at that, because it really just comes down to field of view, and the technology can support full body imaging. Like full body CTs are done today. In terms of cone beam, you know, the real difference is you're limiting the field of view, which helps to reduce the radiation dosage and really like focus on the osseous structure. So the technology is there to do it. And so I'm not surprised they're moving in that direction for sure.
It's crazy, but I agree with you. I think that this is just going to be, it's going to, in, you know, remember when digital x-ray came in?
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I went from dip tanks to automatic, Mary, when you came into the practice, we had automatic processors, but I started with dip tanks. Right. I used to go in there I should have wore like an oxygen mask, you know, from all the chemicals that were there. And then literally, this was 1981, you know, there wasn't the processors, or there may have been a few. And when processors came around, I was like, do I really want to use that thing? Is that reliable? Is it going to work? And then, you know, finally, you know, they probably outlawed dip takes at that time and went to the, and then when digital came out, it was like, we were a hope out. It was kind of like, it's perfect right now, you know, for what we're doing. And of course, everyone went digital, right? And I really believe that in the next 10 to 15 years, CBCT is going to be like, you know, a much bigger player in the radiographic world. I should say world. You know, I do. And I'm so happy. And I just want to tell our audience that you just put out a white paper on it, which is really huge. And you know, and we just want to bring this mainstream in our profession, just like you had said earlier, the application of it, what it can do, you know, the diagnostic qualities that it has that you can't necessarily get with other imaging, and that coupled with, like, you know, the MRIs that have video on them, and we are so far ahead other professions when it comes to looking at certain areas and really assessing not just the pathologies or if there's pathology, but assessing the quality, integrity, you know, and of the joint. It's amazing. So thank you. Thank you for the vision.
Anytime.
And for looking at it. And I swear to God, I will say this till I die. I think the radiology department looked at me with three eyes. Look at three eyes. When I brought the when I came and said, hey, I want to put a CBCT with an opportunity, it was like, what? And you know, Dr. Jamie, you just embraced it, took it. And, you know, I think our students are going to just have amazing, amazing experiences with it as the years go on. So
yes,
thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We got a few minutes left, and I just want to ask you a quick question. Maybe with your crystal ball, you know, where do you see the future of imaging? You know, what do you see with it, you know, in the chiropractic application?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the future of imaging, there'll always be imaging in chiropractic. You know, I don't think that chiropractic will ever separate from imaging because the structural anatomy that we're moving with variable amounts of force sometimes need to be assessed for integrity, for structural just orientation. There's a lot of joints that are kind of anomalous in their orientation, their joint line, et cetera. So I do think imaging will always play a role in chiropractic. Now, that specific role and how we enter into imaging and where we enter into imaging, I think will vary quite a bit. And as we talked a bit off camera, it's just, you know, the trend is for chiropractors to not have x-ray units in their office these days. And I think that's multimodal. I think cost, you know, prohibitive kind of aspects of it are a major piece. But I also think that oftentimes docs may not even realize the importance of having imaging in their office until they need it. There's also the birth of the urgent care center, the diagnostic imaging center, you know, all these places that people can obtain imaging have evolved quite a bit. And so we're no longer confined to the hospital to get an x-ray, you know. And so I think that's, you know, it has its pros and cons, obviously. There's nothing better than just being able to take an x-ray and look at it in real time. And I think that's what a lot of chiropractors are missing out on by not having units in their office, and also just the revenue stream associated with doing more in your practice and keeping more in-house. Although that's never the goal, right, of imaging and using imaging, just establishing that there are costs associated with these tests, and having these tests in-house do have a financial benefit to them. And so there's just these considerations. You know, I do think that the DAC bar will continue to play a big role in interpretation. I mean, I do a lot of secondary reads. I just had a doc, Dr. Sill, who was a longtime faculty at Life West, came in. We were just reviewing a shoulder MRI that was read by a medical radiologist. And he, A, just wanted a second opinion. But B, is there any chiropractic considerations we should have around adjusting, putting force into a joint with a partially torn supraspinatus tendon, for example? And this was just a question. So I think if not for the consultation value, imaging is important to diagnosis, to kind of, you know, treatment planning, but also just important to understand, like, what's going on with the patient. And like I always tell my students, it's the patients you should not adjust that you're hopeful to identify, because most patients will have no contraindication to adjusting. You know, most patients are pristine candidates for chiropractic. All patients are candidates for chiropractic in some region or another, but there may be something going on that needs to be addressed or is a contraindication to applying force. And so I really try to highlight the idea that we want to be safe by identifying who we don't need to adjust, you know, because...
Or how to adjust it, right?
Or how to adjust it, modifications that come up relative to care. So I do think we're shifting a bit in some undesirable ways, but I do think it's important for everyone in chiropractic to understand the value of imaging, particularly when it comes to certain diagnostic suspicions based on your encounter with the patient, but also ruling out things that, you know, may be present that will then allow you to enter into a course of care with no concern. And so I think, you know, for the future of chiropractic and imaging, we'll always be together. And you can decide when to use imaging or not. And that's why I really think the work we were doing about that, like the choosing wisely stuff, was really important, because I think it's really important to maintain doctors' ability to make clinical decisions, regardless of, you know, not regardless of, but in extenuating circumstances where the guidelines may not be totally inclusive. And so it is important for our students and our doctors to be able to make decisions in practice fueled by subjective and objective findings, you know, and imaging is included with that.
I don't know. Listen, I don't know how many years ahead of you, 28 years ahead of you when I graduated in 81. And, you know, what was drilled into our heads back then was to see is to know.
Yes.
Not to see is to guess, right?
That's right.
And literally, it was more important in those days to have an x-ray machine in your office than a table. You can adjust them on the floor. You can't take an x-ray without a machine, right? And like that. Anybody and everyone, the first thing they did with it, they were with their money that they got from a bank, if they got a loan or whatever through their pocket, was to get an x-ray machine, right? But thank you. I think it's incredible. The work you're doing, the work, you know, around, you know, and as we know, radiology is getting safer by the, you know, every year. And like, even with dosages and things like that, it's just amazing. And just, Jamie, thank you. Cause you know what? We've got to keep moving and we've got to keep moving forward, keep progressing.
Yes.
And really, you know, it ups our game. The more we know, it ups our game to be able to apply what we know to the work that we do. So.
Thank you for asking that question. You know, chiropractic is my first love, and supporting chiropractors in their efforts with the communities is of utmost importance. And so, you know, that is our fundamental charge, is to support the chiropractic community, and we'll continue to do that.
Absolutely. And so if people have films they want to get read, lifewest.edu, right? Jay Motley at lifewest.edu. They can, you know, now everything's digital. We can read them, report right back, and it's important. I love it. Okay. All right. Well, I think we're kind of hit a time period, and we're going to ask you two questions.
Okay, I'm ready.
All of our guests. And you know, you don't remember what they were, but we're with last time. So that's great, because it could be a different answer. We're looking for a 15 to 30 second answer. Real short and sweet, that could change in an hour, just like it could change from 2 years.
Okay.
Jerry, go for the first one.
I'll ask the first one. Okay. Knowing what you know today with all your vast knowledge and wisdom, if you could go back and you're standing in front of Jamie in first day of first quarter, she's about to go to class, what advice would you give her now?
I would give her the advice that relax, you're in the good place, you know, because there was a lot of trepidation starting into a graduate program and pursuing a career that, you know, my family had no history in. But I would also tell myself that you're greater than you'll ever know. And so do your best so that you're prepared for what's to come. I could never have fathomed in a million years that I would be a residency director at a chiropractic institution when I entered into chiropractic college. So my career has taken twists and turns desirably that I could have never imagined. And so I'm so glad that I was like attentive and gained the knowledge as it came and really try my best to be a good student and just understand things so that I could then contribute in my professional future. And so I would give myself that advice, and I'm so happy to have landed in the place that I would hope that advice would have landed me. And so I'm so thankful for that. But for people who are just starting out, just understand that knowledge is key, and that it's really important to learn how you learn so that you can obtain the knowledge you need to then acquire future knowledge and be great.
That's great advice for, you know, for people starting out. Right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Second question. Same thing. But you're now speaking from what you know now. You're now speaking to Dr. Jamie Motley, who just graduated in March of 2009, right? What words of wisdom would you give her?
I would tell her one step at a time, because I've always had a plan and I was so far into the future that the next step was kind of tough. And so I would tell myself to like focus on what's in front of you. Obviously keep the vision for the future, but take things one step at a time. I mean, I've never read so many textbooks or taken so many notes or like, you know, and so it was a time where I wish I would have had more patience with myself and with my learning and the pace in which I was expecting myself to acquire knowledge. And so it takes some time for mastery. You know, I still have this thing of like, what do I know anyway? You know, my residents always laugh because they're like, you know a lot, you know? And so you'll always have this feeling of maybe not knowing or not, you know, doing your best. So it's important to just be aware of how the world is receiving you, because your personal judgment of yourself may not be as accurate as you think it is. And so I would just tell her, like, pay attention, have some patience, and one thing at a time.
One step at a time.
Well, that's much better. I thought you were going to say maybe get a winter coat. You're going to upstate New York.
Right? There are some of that too, some wardrobe evolution, because yes, that -2 degrees or whatever we used to get to sometimes was really tragic, especially with the ankle socks from California.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and sandals, right?
It was totally different climate. But I will like to say that, you know, Life West made major contributions to my education. I'm really grateful for the inspiration, Dr. Carter, Dr. Gatterman, and a lot of other professors at the time. And then I'm so grateful for you, New York, for developing me professionally. And we hope to do that in our residency here. So thank you for giving me the opportunity. We have built this residency from scratch. We have a DAC bar that's, you know, come out of this program. And I'm just so proud of the work we're doing. And thanks to both of you for supporting the program starting at the college and really helping us to contribute to the profession in that way. It's been great.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was easy. Am I sure? It was easy. It was like a yes or no. It was yes, you know. But you carried the ball, did the work, you know. Ran down the field, had to play defense, offense, you know. You know, I mean, it was easy. But we appreciate you so much, and
thank you,
and all that you bring to the profession more than anything, because you know the college is the college, but it's here for the profession, right? It's here for humanity, actually, and thank you, Jamie, because you know you not only you bring knowledge and skill. But you bring a level of heart that is so important for all of us to resonate with and to feel and to be around, because it just, you know, that's the rhythm of everything, right? We can know everything, but if we don't have the heart to be able to transmit it. And so thank you for that. And, you know, Mary, thanks for being with us, of course, you know, for co-anchoring and this is always fun. You know, Jamie's incredible.
You were looking forward to this.
Yeah, absolutely. And for your audience, thank you. Thank you for, you know, coming week in and week out. I mean, everywhere I travel around the world, I was recently just in I don't know where it was in India or somewhere, Malaysia. And people were coming up to me saying, oh, my God, I see your podcasts and webcasts and stuff like that. It's like, what? Like, you know, and it's so cool. It's because you guys are spreading it, you know, and believe me, there was a ton of great stuff that was said here today. You know, Dr. Jamie's got so much wisdom. And so I appreciate you sharing it with people. We appreciate you, you know, just listening and tuning in and, you know, week in and week out, every other week. This is our Life by Life West. Next week, we'll be dropping a Life Leadership Line, Life West Leadership Line. You know, thank you. And your support means all the world. We'll keep doing it as long as you want to keep listening to it. And it's kind of how life works. So we do appreciate you. And as Dr. Jamie said, you know, take some time. Remember who you are. You're much greater. We all are much greater than we're ever led to believe. But don't push yourself too hard to where you can stay in touch with who you are. Give yourself that grace. And make sure you keep spreading the love and allowing people to really experience their true self, which we know that innate intelligence within. So until we come at you at our next episode, for Dr. Jamie, Dr. Mary, and myself, we'll bid you adieu and love and appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.